Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Samach Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Mishnah. Hamesis. The mesis that is to be stoned, ze hedyot. This is a commoner. Hamesis esa hedyot, one who tries to seduce into idolatry a commoner. This is to the exclusion of a mediach who tries to seduce the public. So the mesis is a hedyot. He would be penalized or punished by stoning. And we are at this point in the Gemara understanding this to the exclusion of someone who tries to seduce a public where there would be a death penalty through strangulation. These particular points that we just said will be subject to discussion later in the Gemara. Omar, the seducer, says, the mesis says to his listener, he says, Yesh yira b'mokom ploni, there's a yira, a god form, in a certain place, kach ocheles, thusly it eats, kach shusa, thusly it drinks, kach mativa, thusly it benefits, kach maria, and thusly it punishes. In other words, he tells, he describes a deity in a certain place with the all of its details. Kol chayve misois shabatora, all those subject to capital punishment that are in the Torah, ein machminim aleim chutz mizu. We do not practice a practice of hiding witnesses or having witnesses stalk the offender, except for the case of the seducer to idolatry. Omar lishnayim, if he says his words of hasata, of seduction, to two people, Hain Adolf, they can actually serve as the witnesses against him. Umavian Oisei Lebezdin Vesoklin Oso, they could bring him to the court and have him stoned. Omar Li'echod, if the Mesis says his words of Hasota to a singular individual, who, Omer, the listener, can respond, Yesh li chaverim roitzim bekach. I have friends that are interested in this. Im hoya orum ve'eno yochol adabri b'fneihem. If the mesis is unclothed, the Rashi says, v'im hoya hamesis orum ve'eno yochol adabri b'fneihem. Klomar. This is as if to say, Omer eni yochol lefarsem hadovar mipnei yiras beisdin. I can't publicize what I want because he's afraid of the Beis Din. He's afraid of legal ramifications. This would be what is meant by if he's Orum, maybe a borrowed expression. But the point being, he is unwilling to say his words to others. At this point then, Machminim lo edim achorei hageder, we can hide witnesses on the other side of a fence. The who, Omer, lo, and the listener will say to the seducer, Emor mashamarto biyichud, say over again what you were telling me. Here, we're alone, there's no one else with us, and you can say to me what you wanted to say. Of course, at this point, we have the witnesses on the other side of the fence lying in wait. V'halo Omer lo, and the mesis says his words of hasota. The who, Omer lo, and the listener says, Eich naniach es elokeinu shebashamayim, how can we abandon the Almighty in heaven, v'neilech v'navoid eitzim babonim, and go and worship sticks and stones? Im chozerbo, if the seducer retracts, harei zemutov, then that's good. V'im Omar, if the mesis says, Kachi choivosenu, kach yofelonu. This is our obligation. This is good for us. Then ha'oinde me'achori hageder, those that were lying in wait, so to speak, the two witnesses that were on the other side of the fence, are able to bring him into court. Mevian oisoi lebeisdin v'soklenoso. They can bring him for prosecution in court, and eventually the Mesis, who thought he was alone, will be subject to the death penalty. This is all a description of what we refer to above as machminim, and the Mishnah emphasized that this kind of procedure would never be done when it comes to other kinds of capital offenses. In the case of other capital offenses, there's a necessity for the witnesses to masre, to warn the offender before he commits his offense. In this case, as you can see, we don't have the witnesses issuing the hasra. Ha'oimer, if one says in any one of the following expressions, it will be now in the Mishnah will present a list of different expressions, but anyone who says any of the following will be considered a mesis and hence chayev and hence guilty. What are the expressions? Ha'oimer, e'evod, eilech ve'evod, neilech ve'na'avod, azabeach, eilech ve'ez azabeach, neilech u'nezabeach. Aktir, eilech v'aktir, neilech v'naktir. Anasech, eilech v'anasech, neilech v'nanasech. Eshtachave, eilech v'eshtachave, neilech v'nishtachave. What we've done in our markings, we've dashed, underlined the beginning expressions at each point. We have e'evod, I will go and serve. Then there's azabeach, I will go and slaughter for an idol. Or aktir, I will go and offer up on the fire in honor of an idol. Anasech is the process of pouring out wine or sprinkling the blood in honor of an idol. Eshtachave deals with bowing down. So whether it be the fellow says, I will go and do it, or he says, let us go and do it, and as is shown by the verb forms with the nun, like neilech v'navod, or neilech v'nizabeach, or neilech v'naktir, etc. We turn to the side of the Gemara. We notice a topic heading Nosei Oinshoi Shel Hamesis, the punishment for the seducer. Beis Deos Batanoim. We'll see two opinions in amongst the Tanoim on this topic. We've also featured in the Gemara a diamond around the word Ha. This is to emphasize what we've noted on under our Mivneh, our structural note. You see the diamond featured. Hadgoshas hadiyukim, the emphasis of the inferences drawn meha Mishnah from the Mishnah, kedei lahamid oisoi kashitas Rabbi Shimon, in an attempt to set up the Mishnah like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. All of this will hopefully become clear as we go on in the Gemara. The Gemara opens up with a quote from the Mishnah, Hamesis ze hedyot. The seducer that is subject to the stoning penalty is a commoner. So why is there stoning? Taimo de hedyot, because we're dealing with a commoner. Ha novi, if we were dealing with a prophet that is seducing into idolatry, b'chenek. The mesis, if he were a novi, he would get chenek. That's one inference. So at this point, we'll focus on ha novi b'chenek. So our Mishnah would reflect an opinion whom we haven't discovered yet, but an opinion that says that the Novi who's Mesis gets the strangulation penalty. Continuing with another quote from the Mishnah, V'hamesis esahedyot, one who seduces a private individual, an individual as opposed to a community, a rabbin. Our Mishnah says the seducer of the individual is subject to a stoning death penalty, time of the yochid, because he is mesis es ha-hedyot, because he is seducing a private individual, that's time of the yochid, because he's an individual that is being seduced, that's what creates the skila death penalty for the seducer. Ha rabim, however, if the seducer was seducing a public, then bechinik. So let us focus once again on the two diamonds and see which Tanaic authority would reflect this opinion. According to the inferences drawn from our Mishnah, we would end up saying as follows. A novi would get chenek, and one who seduces the public would get chenek. Masnisin money, who reflects that opinion? Rabbi Shimon he. This is Rabbi Shimon. And before we go any further, let us just note the source that appears on the next line. We've dashed underlined certain expressions. One expression is, at the beginning of the line, you see Novi, and we see Bechenek. That coincides with the first diamond expression. And this is going to be the two dashed underlines, concluding with the word Bechenek. We have Rabbi Shimon saying Bechenek. So we in effect see that Novi Bechenek is according to Rabbi Shimon. That was what the first diamond was saying, and hence we want to conclude that our Mishnah is according to this opinion. The second subsequent dash under expression would be at the end of the source, the next line. You notice the word Bechenek, third word on the line, is also dashed on the line. This was featuring the case of Madiche Ir Hanidachas. This was a case where a city was being seduced, and that's why what we've done with our markings, we also have dashed underline Madiche Ir, the one seducing a city, and also Bechenek. So we see Rabbi Shimon saying that a public that's being seduced, the seducer gets Bechenek penalty. And that was the second diamond expression where we saw Ho Rabim. If the Rabim were the listeners, then the seducer gets Chenek. So as we saw just before the source, the Gemara points out Masnis and Money, the Mishnah, our Mishnah with the inferences drawn from it, Rabbi Shimon he seems to be according to his opinion. The Sanya, the following source, Novi Shediach Beskila, Rabbi Shimon Omer Bechenek, Madiche Ir Hanidachas Beskila, Rabbi Shimon Omer Bechenek. Continuing in the Gemara, Amos Seifa, let us now state the latter part of the Mishnah, which is really a reference to the next Mishnah. The beginning of the next Mishnah, which is on our Daf, says, and it's quoted here in our framed section, Hamadiach, one who is a Madiach, who gets Skila, Zeho Oimer, this is one who says, Neilech v'navu revodisuchavim, let us go and serve an idol. The Omar Rav Yehuda, Amarav, and Rav Yehuda Amarav will comment later in the Gemara, and he will say, Madiche Ir Hanidachas Shalu. The Mishnah is referring to one who tries to seduce the public. So, in effect, the Mishnah, it's for a little extra clarity, we want to add the following, that his expression, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, Madiche Ir Hanidachas Shalu, is a reference to the word Hamadiach, which was found in Daf Nun Gimel, Omid Aleph, in the list of Niskolim. The Rashi points out, Madiche Ir Hanidachas Shanu, B'Mishnah Seinu Zos. In this Mishnah, we are explaining, we are referring to one who tries to seduce a public. V'Ashmin and Seifa, and the Seifa, namely this next Mishnah, tells us the Madiach Dereisha, that the word Madiach found on the Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, B'Madiach Ir Hanidachas Komar, is referring to one who tries to seduce a public. V'Hochiko Omar, and thusly we should understand the comment of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Hamadiach Disnan Liel, the Hamadiach word that was taught on Daf Nun Gimel, Bahadi Niskolin, in the list of those who are stoned, Ze Ha'emer LaRabim, this is one who addresses a public and says, Neilech V'Navod Avodis Kochavim, let us go and serve an idol. All that having been said, this idea shows us Asa'an, it shows us that this comes out L'Rabbanan. This comes out like the opinion of the Rabbanan and not Rabbi Shimon. What is the opinion of the Rabbanan? Well, we just saw it. We saw it a few lines up in the source that said, Madiche Ir Hanidachas Beskila. That was the opinion that we saw before Rabbi Shimon. One who tries to seduce a public gets the Skila penalty. And according to Rav Yehuda Marav, his understanding of the next Mishnah is saying exactly that. So, as far as the structure of the two Mishnayos that we have in front of us, we have the following, and it's a generally speaking unaccepted structure. Reisha Rabbi Shimon v'Seifa Rabbanon. Are we to understand then that the Reisha of the Mishnayos, namely the Mishnah, our Mishnah with its inferences, is a reflection of Rabbi Shimon's opinion, And the Sefer is a reflection, the Sefer being the next Mishnah, is a reflection of the opinion of the Rabbanon. That is, generally speaking, not acceptable. We like to have, when you're dealing with Mishnayos, when it's a one particular Mishnah, even though here the Mishnah is split up, but nevertheless, it should be viewed as one continuum. And that being the case, we have the early part according to one opinion, and the latter part according to another opinion. And without any names, that type of setup would not be acceptable. Ravina Omar. It ought to be pointed out that Ravina, and later on this line, Rav Papa, Rashi takes pains to point out that they are not arguing with one another, and we will try to make that clear as we go on in the Gemara. Ravina Omar, Kulo Rabbonon Hi. The entire Mishnah is to be understood according to the opinion of the Rabbonon. Veloi Zu Af Zu Kotoni, and the structure of the Mishnah is to be understood in the lo zu af zu fashion. In order to appreciate this, let us glance at the Rashi. Specifically, the Rashi we're looking at will be on the second wide line where you see the double asterisk. The lo zu, not only demesis yochid bilvad deskila, not only is the mesis of a someone who tries to seduce an individual will get skila. Daha pshita, this is obvious. Dekulu modu ba beskila, everyone agrees that a mesis is a yochid is beskila. In other words, not only that case, which is obvious, will be punishable by stoning. Urcha latana lemisnihachi, the custom of the Tana, of Tanoim, is to teach thusly. Tana milsa bereisha the pshita lei. It will teach at first something that is obvious. V'hodar Tana rabusa. And then he goes on to teach something that has a chidush value, has a novelty value. And it's as follows. In our reading, we actually have to read this a little more accurately. And let us just continue with the reading, even though we misread this a little bit. Velo zu demesis yochid bilvad beskila, elo af zu demesis rabin beskila. And not only the case of someone who seduces the private person is punishable by skila, as Rashi mentioned just a moment ago, that is something that everyone agrees on. Elo af zu demesis rabin beskila. Even the case of someone who tries to seduce the public is beskila. So the opening of our Mishnah, which mentioned hamesis ze. Hamesis, the second line from the top of this page, said Hamesis is a hedya, one who seduces the private person, gets the skila penalty. But even that which appears at the beginning of the second Mishnah on this page, Madiach, Zeomer, Nelech, Venavod, Avodis Lechavim, and we understood that even the case of someone who tries to seduce the public will get the skila death penalty. And the reason we say even that case is because we're trying to say even this case gets skila to the exclusion of Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So with this reading, we have the first Mishnah and the next Mishnah on this page, all consistently according to the Rabbonan's opinion. Continuing in the Gemara, we go to Rav Papa, who's listed as Beis, Rav Papa Omar, Ki Kotoni Mesis Ze Hedyot, the understanding of that part of the Mishnah, which was really the first expression. Notice how Ravina addressed the second expression in the Mishnah, and Rav Papa addresses the first expression in the Mishnah, which, by the way, created the first inference problem when we opened up the Gemara. So Rav Papa says, this expression, Meis Zehedyo, is not coming to the exclusion of a Novi, but rather it means that one who engages in seduction to idolatry is a fool. Hedyo being an expression of shoite, meaning someone who is, in English we use the word idiot, very similar sounding expression, one who is a fool, lehachmona, which means that he is such a lowly individual that we we will prosecute him by setting up witnesses behind the scenes in order to catch him, which is something we wouldn't do with any other capital offender. And that's a function of this being such a lowly act. And this is what Rashi explains, and you can see this in the Rashi, the third wide line, where the triple asterisk is, for Rav Papa Osa Aflatrusi. Rav Papa also comes to explain the dikotoni, that which is taught, hamesis zeh hedyot, namely the opening expression of the Mishnah, lav limute, not to exclude novi hamesis, a prophet who tries to seduce, kotoni, elo kol hamesitim kori, all those that are engaged in seducing into idolatry are called hedyotos, mishum hachmona, because of the practice of hiding the witnesses behind the scenes, behind the fence. Klomar, this is to say, mesis equals hedyot v'shoytehu, he is a fool, a lowly individual, umidas hakale nohigbo, and the style of treating him is the way we would treat all those that are of great insignificance. She mekilin b'chayov, we treat his life lightly. She kol chayvim isos, generally speaking, those guilty of capital offenses, srichin hasra, require warning beforehand. Vezeh, and this guy, the seducer, neharag b'achmona, he can be killed even without the warning, but through witnesses that heard what he was doing behind the scenes. The Gemara goes on with an illustration of this idea or this practice of hachmona, disanya, as is taught in the following source. Ushar kochayvi miso shibatora, ein machminim aleim chutz misu. All the other capital offenders in the Torah, we would not prosecute through hidden witnesses, except for this case. Ketzat oisano, what do we do with him, with the mesis? Madlikin lo esaner, babayas hapnimi. We would have the Mesis with his listener in an inner room, umoshiv, and have the inner room illuminated with a candle, umoshivin lo edim bebayis achitzon, and we would have witnesses in a dark outer room. Kedei shu hein royin oisoi v'shomin es koilo, so we'd have a situation where they who are in the dark would be looking toward a lit room. They would see him and hear him. V'hu eino roya osan, but he being in the lit room would not see those that are in the dark room, namely the witnesses. The seducer would not see the witnesses who are in the dark room. V'halo omer lo, and the listener would say, emor masha martali biyichud, say over again what you told me privately. V'hu omer lo, and the mesis would say it over. V'halo omer lo, and the nises, the listener, would say, heich naniach es elokeinu shebashamayim v'navod avodes kochavim, how can we abandon the Almighty in heaven and go serve idols? Im choser bo mutov, if the mesis retracts, then good. V'im omar, but if he says, kach hi choy vosenu v'kach yofelonu, this is our obligation and this is good for us. Ha'edim sheshomin mibachutz, the witnesses that hear him from the outside, mevin oisoi lebezdin v'sokhm v'so, they will bring him to the court and prosecute him and eventually stone him. The Mishnah, ha'mediach, ze ha'oimer neilech v'navoid avodis kochavim. Hamechashef, the sorcerer, ha'ose ma'ase chayav, v'lo ha'oiches es ho'inayim, the one who does some kind of actual act is guilty of death, and not the one who simply amazes people, causes them to think something was done, but nothing was actually done. Rabbi Akiva oimer mishum Rabbi Yeshua, shnayim loitim kishuim, echod loiket potter, fi echod loiket chayav. Rabbi Akiva, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, says you can have two people collecting kishuim vegetables. One gathers them and is exempt, and the other gathers them and is guilty. We've noted with our markings the Aleph was the Echad Lokei Potter, and the Beis was the one who is Chayav. In explaining what they are, we first explained the Beis, the Chayav one, and then the Aleph. And that's why we've remarked the continuation of the Mishnah as with the Beis first and then the Aleph. Ha'oise Maisa equals Chayav. One who does an actual act through black magic, then he is guilty. Ha'oiches Eswanayim, one who simply makes people think he's doing something, but nothing really was done, equals exempt, equals potter. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Madiche ir hanidachas shanukan. This Mishnah that opened up with Hamediach is really saying that the word Hamadiach that was found in the opening Mishnah that had Madiach listed under the list of those who are to be stoned, this is one who tries to seduce a public. Hamechashev zeh ha'oise maise v'chulei. Tonu Rabbonon. The source begins here, and it goes till, as you can see, that it's the frame source that's open on the bottom, which indicates that it goes and continues till the omid base, till the second omid on the top. The nosei, the topic heading we've assigned to this, is Machlokes Tanoim, a Tanaic controversy. Mahi oinsho shel mechashefa. What is the penalty to be suffered by the witch? Tonu Rabbonon, mechashefa, echor o'ish v'echor o'isha. The term mechashefa includes males and females. Im kei matam lomer mechashefa. So why does the Torah phrase it in the female form? The male form would be mechashef, but the Torah uses the feminine version mechashefa. The answer: mipnei sheroiv noshim mitzuyos bikshofim. Translated literally, it would be that the majority of women practice black magic. It might be understood that we can possibly understand this as most of those that are involved in Kishuf are women. However, the literal translation, as we suggested at the beginning, the Gemara goes on to say, Misoson Bema, their death penalty is through what? Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Nemar Kan Mechashefado Sechaye, Venemar Lahalon, and it says in the context of the elimination of the seven nations that occupied the land of Canaan before the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, it says there, Lo sechayeh kol neshama, that you shall not leave alive any person. Ma lahalon b'sayaf, just like over there in the Lo sechayeh kol neshama by the seven nations, their death is through the sword. And Rashi says the source for that. You can see it from the second line from the bottom. In the battles with these two kings, Sichon and Og, it says, "Vayakeu Yisrael lefi chorev." They were smitten by the sword. So we see that with the vanquishing of the seven nations, their elimination was done through the sword. Afkan, so too, we continue in our source. Afkan, so too, in the case of Kishuf, you find a similar expression, lo sechaye. We are to understand besayef, through the sword. So the mechashef, the sorcerer, is to be executed through the sword. Rabbi Kiva Omer, he has a different take. He says, Ne'mar kan mechashefa lo sechaye, ve'ne'mar lahalon, and it says in the context of Maimed Har Sinai, where there was a warning not to go onto the Mount Sinai at the time that the divine presence was there. The pasuk says, "Im behema imish lo yichye." Notice we've dashed underlined the key expressions. Ma lahalon, just like in the case of Mount Sinai biskila, we know that there was a death penalty through stoning. Afkan biskila, so too in the case of the execution of the sorcerer. Amalo Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, who was the first opinion, turns to Rabbi Kiva and says, "Ani danti lo sechaya mi lo sechaya." I concluded the punishment for the sorcerer by comparing exact expressions, as appeared in both cases, the sorcerer and the seven nations. However, you vato danto lo sechaya mi lo yichye. You attempted to make a word comparison, but it was not an exact comparison. And you can see with our markings, we've squiggle underlined the yud to emphasize this point, that the word lo sichaye, which is in the context of the mechashefa, is not the same expression exactly as that which you found by Mount Sinai. Omer lo Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, who did want to learn from Mount Sinai and come to his stoning conclusion, he says, "Ani danti Yisrael mi Yisrael." I made a comparison between two topics that involved Yisrael, involved Jews. Sheribo bohena kosuv misos harbe. When dealing with the realm of the Jews, we find that there are a lot of different death penalties, and at Mount Sinai, skila was the chosen death penalty. So I want to compare that case, the Sinai case, to the case of Mechashefa to reveal stoning. However, you, in your comparison method, you compared a case of Mechashefa, which is a topic involving Jews, and try to learn that from the case of the Ovdei Kochavim, the idol worshipping seven nations, Shelo Ribo Bohen, Akosuv Elo Misa Achas. They have only one death penalty to begin with, namely Saif, death through the sword. Ben Azai Omer. Ben Azai has another approach. Nemar Mechashefa lo sechaye, v'nemar kol shoychev im behemo mois yumos. And right next to the pasuk of Mechashefa, you have the pasuk dealing with bestiality, and it says they're mois yumos. Samchu inyan lo. They are put one next to the other to teach the following. Ma shoychev im behemo mois beskilo. Just like bestiality, immoral intimacy conducted with a behemoth, with a beast, results in the skila, death penalty, and there we know that to be the case. Af mechashev beskila. So to the case of the sorcerer will also be beskila, will also be through the death penalty of stoning. So according to Ben Azai, his conclusion is because of proximity of verses. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda does not darshan smuchen. He does not want to, certainly in the case of Sefer Shmos, he does not want to compare things based on proximity. V'chim b'tneishes samchu inyan lo, because you have next to the case of mechashef, you have the case of bestiality, notzi lo zeh beskila, I should take him out of the realm of a lighter death penalty and give him the more severe skila, the severe death penalty of stoning. So by virtue of proximity, I am not going to come to that conclusion. However, I will come to the conclusion that there is a death penalty through stoning by the Mechashef through a different means. In other words, same conclusion as Ben Azai, but through a different means. Ela oiv v'yedoni b'chla mechashvim hoyu. We know that these are two types of sorcery, oiv and yedoni. They are part of the general category of mechashvim, of sorcerers. The lama yotsu, why are they featured as specific examples of something that we already know to be forbidden by the general rule of mechashefo lo sechaye? The answer is lahakish alehem, to compare to them the lomar loch, and to tell, instruct us the following. Ma oiv v'yedoni beskila, just like the Torah says specifically or explicitly, it says by ov and yedoni there shall be a stoning death penalty. Af mechashev to, so to the general category, all mechashvim beskila. This is called the type of limud of klal uprat, where the prat, or more accurately said, it's a prat sheyotza min haklal, a prat that was specified, taken out of the general principle in order, and specified, we say, that when you have that situation, that it's lelamed ala klal kulo, to teach me about the entire category. The Gemara goes on and asks the Rabbi Yehuda Nami, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who was willing to learn skila by virtue of the oiv v'yedoni precedent, levu oiv v'yedoni shnei k'suvim aboim k'echod, why not view the case of oiv and yedoni, two psukim, in this case two points that are found in the pasuk that are coming to teach me one thing, and there's a rule v'chol shnei k'suvim aboim k'echod. Whenever you have a situation like that, where there are two things teaching me that illustrate the same thing, ein malamdin, you don't learn from that. In other words, where the Torah wants to teach me a rule, and in the same breath it cites two examples that teach me the same rule, I, generally speaking, would conclude that it's only in these two cases that that particular rule will apply, and not in any other case. Because if you want something to serve as an example for and create a general rule, just say one example, and I will say, I'll learn from the one point to the rest of the Torah. But when you have two points stated, it could be understood that the two are exclusionary, namely only these things and not anything else. The Gemara answers, Omar Rabbi Zechariah, Odo Omra, Zos Omeris, this is to say, the fact that Rabbi Yehuda said, I am going to learn from Ov and Yedoni to the general category of sorcerers, Kosovar shows us, Kosovar Rabbi Yehuda, Shneksu Veboim Keachon Melandim. This is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Contrary to the generally accepted way of learning, Rabbi Yehuda holds that two verses that come and teach me the same thing can serve as a principle for the rest of the Torah as well. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ov and Yedoni can serve as a precedent for the general realm of sorcerers. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us just glance at our topic heading, the Nosei. Koyach shel kshofim hino rav. The strength of sorcery, of black magic, is strong. Avalo neged tzadik godol. But it's not strong enough to work against a fully righteous individual. The Gemara goes on. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Loma nikro shmon kshofim. Why is black magic referred to by this term, kshofim? The Gemara will answer that it's through the word kshofim, in effect, as a contraction, shemakrishin pamalya shelmala, that they are able to work against heavenly rulings. The Rashi says, kshofim, a few lines up from here, notrikon, a contraction or an abbreviation, kochash pamalya shelmala, that contradicts the heavenly court. Sha'almi shenigzar lichyois mimisim, on whom there was a heavenly court ruling to continue living, the kishuf could result in his death. There's another pasuk referred to in the Gemara that says, Ein oid milvadoi. There is no one other than the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Omer Rabbi Chanina, afilu lidvar kshofim. That there is no one other than the Kodesh Baruch Hu, even kshafim, even sorcery, cannot work against the Almighty. If you feel uncomfortable at this point in what the Gemara just said, let us just stay tuned for the continuation. Hahi itza, there was a woman, Dahavis ko mahadro lemishkal afro, Mitusei kare de Rabbi Chanina. She was mahadro, she was seeking out, trying, lemishkal afro, to remove dirt, mitusei, from underneath, kare, the legs of Rabbi Chanina, from under his feet. She was a witch, and sorcery would be able to have an effect only if she could successfully remove dirt from under his feet. So Rabbi Chanina noticed this. Omar, Rabbi Chanina said, "Lo." Omar, "Lo." He said to the Mechashefa, "Im mistayis zili avidi. If you think you will be successful, go ahead and try. Ein oid milvado ksiv. I am not worried. There is no one other than the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if the Kodesh Baruch Hu desires me, you will not be able to have any effect on me." The Gemara asks, how can Rabbi Chanina say that to her? Eini, is that so? V'omer Rabbi Yochanan, lama nikro shmon kshof mechashvim. Why are sorcerers referred to by the term mechashvim? Shemakrishin pamalya shemala, that they have an effect even against heavenly rulings. So how can Rabbi Chanina cite as his defense Ein oiv milvado, when we know that kishuf is an overpowering force? The Gemara answers, Shaini Rabbi Chanina, the Nofish Zechusei. Rabbi Chanina is different. He has great merits. So, on our simplistic understanding of this rather deep and mysterious topic, we can say as follows, that based on what it seems Rashi indicates, that one who is full of merits, one is a tzaddik mushlam, one is a full-fledged righteous individual, the Kodesh Baruch Hu and his heavenly court, if you will work in his defense against any black magic that's practiced on him. However, if someone is not a tzaddik gomor, then the heavenly court will not intervene on someone's defense in the event that the black magic is practiced against him. And it could be understood in such explanations you'll find in the commentaries that it's not so much that the black magic is per se having an effect, but rather it's because a person who is not a completely righteous individual, dealing with a person who has offenses, he has averis in his account, the fact that he has these averis allows the black magic to take effect. Before we go on in the Gemara, we're going to note two psukim that the Gemara itself will be referring to, but when the Gemara makes reference to it, it will be only in one word. So glancing at the side of the Gemara, we have two psukim noted, Shmois Perek Zayin Pasuk of Beis. This is dealing with the sorcerers in Egypt at the time that Moshe Rabbeinu appeared to redeem the Jews. It says, Vayasu Kain Chartume Mitzrayim Belotehem. The magicians or the sorcerers in Egypt were able to do the same thing, Belotehem. We'll come back to that word in the course of the Gemara, but we've emphasized it with a dashed underline in our side right in. We also have a Pasuk Shmois Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph that says, Vayasu gam heim chartum imitzrayim belohotehem. Noticing a very similar word, however, in this case, the letter he appears in the middle of the word. Also describing the sorcerers of Egypt in their magical abilities. What is the difference between belotehem and belohotehem? Omar Rabbi Ivo, we turn back to the more, of course, Omar Rabbi Ivo bar Nagri, Omar Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba. Belotehem, Elu Maisa Shadim. The word Belotehem has a connotation of secrecy. Magic that is described as Belotehem is done by activating the demons referred to as Shadim. They are forces that are not seen. They're hidden from the eye. And hence the word Belotehem is used to describe this kind of black magic, namely black magic that is done through the assistance or through the aid of Shadim that are hidden. Belohotehem, Elu Maisik Shofim. This is a form of sorcery that is done without the assistance of these demons, but it's done by the sorcerer himself. V'chein hu oimer v'es lahat hacherev hamisapeches. This pasuk is found very early in the Torah when Adam was exiled from Gan Eden. The Torah says there was a sword that was twisting around, serving as a threat or a guard to the entrance of Gan Eden, and it's described as the lahat hacherev hamisapeches. The word with the hay in it, similar to the word before, belohotehem, indicated something done on its own. In this case, it means that the sword that is featured in this pasuk was twisting around on its own. Omar Abaye. Abaye continues in describing different types of sorcery. He says, dekopid amona equals shade. A mechashef that when he is doing his black magic is insistent on a very specific utensil in order to carry out his magic. If he is insisting on a specific vessel, equals shade. It means that he is engaging the assistance of a demon in his magic. However, dolo kopid amona, someone who does his black magic with any vessel that he happens to have access to, in other words, he's able or willing to carry out his sorcery without insisting on a specific vessel, that equals kshofim. That's an indication that you're dealing with someone that is practicing kishuf. Omar Abai, hilchus kshofim ki hilchus Shabbos. The rules or the laws concerning kishuf can be parallel to the rules of Shabbos as follows. Yesh mehen beskila, there are those that are punishable by stoning. V'yesh mehen potar aval oser, there are those things that, if done, one is exempt from a capital penalty, capital punishment. However, it's nevertheless forbidden. And a third category, v'yesh mehen mutar lechatchila, and there are those things that are permitted to do outright. In the case of Shabbos, Rashi gives examples, even though there are numerous examples that one could cite to fill in as examples for each one of the categories. As far as the realm of Kishuv is concerned, the Gemara explains. Aleph, notice the Aleph here, this will parallel the Aleph that we had just before, dealing with that which is Chayv and Skila, is Ha'oisa Maisa equals Beskila. One who through the black magic actually accomplishes something physically, accomplishes something in actuality, that is deserving of the death penalty through Skila. One who makes you think he did something, but in effect he didn't change anything, what we would call maybe common magical practice, that's poter avaloser. It is not punishable by death penalty. However, the Torah does not allow it to be done. Torah, meaning the Torah law, does not allow it to be done. Mutar lechatchila, an example of these things that is allowed outright, kiderav chanina v'raboshaya, as was seen by them, kol mali shabbato, every erev Shabbos, havu aski behilchas yitzira, they were involved in the study of sefer yitzira. This is a sefer of a very holy nature that deals with the letters of the Hebrew language and the Shemos Hashem, and the ability to connect different letters with one another will empower the one who's engaged in this with actual creative powers. So they were involved in the study of sefer Yetzira. Umivri lehu iglotilso, they created for themselves a calf known as an iglotilso. The achli lay, and they ate it. They ate it, it seems from the context of this Gemara, they ate it as part of their Shabbos meal. Before we continue in the Gemara, we notice a series marker, a geometric form, in this case the diamonds, and we've also featured them on the side under the Mivneh heading. Kamo Maisim im Mechashvim v'domehem. We have several stories involving sorcerers and similarly and related topics. Omar Rav Ashi, Chazino Le Ravur de Karna. I saw this individual, Avur, the father of Karna, who was a sorcerer, de Nufitz Vishodi Krichi de Shiroi Minichire. He would Nufitz, he would blow his nose, and there would exit from his nose pieces of cloth, pieces of clothing would come out of his nose. In the Makas Chikinim, we have a note on the side here, Nose, Machloikis Amoroyim, we're going to encounter now a Amorea controversy. Mahu Koichu Shel Hashed, what is the strength of the demon? Bore O Me'asef, does he create something, or is he responsible for gathering things together, as will be seen in the Gemara? In the Makas Kinim, the affliction of lice, the third Makah, in the 10 plagues, the pasuk says, "Vayomru hachartumim el paro." The sorcerer said to Paro, "Etzba Elokim hi." This is the work of the finger of God. In other words, they acknowledged that this was not a product of black magic. Omar Rebbe Elazar, Mikan. From here, we see she'ein hashed yochol livrois bria pochos mikisora, that a shade, a demon, cannot create a creature that is smaller than a barley grain. Rav Papa Omar, Ho Elokim, he says a loshon of exclamation, expression of Elokim, sometimes is explained as a type of oath. But it's, for our purposes, we say it's an expression of exclamation. He says, Afilu kegamlo namilo motzi bori, even a large creature like a camel, they could not create. In other words, then, the question is, what is the strength of the shade? What is the strength of the demon, or what is his ability? The answer is as follows. Hi, michneflei, the large creatures a shade is able to gather in. The hi, however, small creatures, tiny creatures, lo michneflei, they are incapable of gathering them together. Hence, when there was a swarm of lice that afflicted Mitzrayim, the Khartoumim there, the magicians of Mitzrayim, came to the conclusion this could not be the intervention of demons, because they could not possibly control these minute creatures. Omalei Rav, the Rebbe Chiyah.
Ledidi Chozili Hahu Tayo. I once saw an Arab merchant. The Shakle Lesafsiro. He drew his sword. The Gaide Legamlo, and he cut apart a camel. The Toraf Le Betavlo, and then he banged some type of percussion instrument, a bell maybe, or something, or a tambourine. Vekum, and after banging this percussion instrument, the camel came together. Omar Lay, Rabbi Chia inquired and investigated this a little further and asked Rav, Lebosar Hachi, after the camel was brought together again and stood up again, Domu Parso Mihavoy, did you see blood there or refuse? Was there any signs of it having been cut up beforehand? Elo, you didn't see anything there. Elo, hahi, what you saw was achizas einayim havei. It was a form of magic of making of you thought something happened, but nothing really happened. The Rashi says, "Hahu achizas einayim havei velo meguyadu." The camel wasn't really cut up. She'eno yocho lahachiz hames. The sorcerer does not have the ability to bring back to life that which is dead. Ziri iklo laksandri shemitzrayim. This Ziri, a great rabbinic figure, he went to Alexandria Mitzrayim. Zovan chamron, he bought a donkey. Ki moto laashkuye maya, when he came to try to give it to drink, give ashkuye to drink maya water. Poshar. What we'll see immediately in the story, the spell melted, the kishuf that was done melted away, v'kom gamlo diskenisa, and the donkey turned back into a board from a bridge, like a boardwalk that's composed of numerous planks. So the chamor that he bought, the donkey that he bought, turned back into a plank from a board bridge. That duskenisa is a word meaning it's a type of wood. So it's a plank made of skenisa wood. Amru lei, the people in Alexandria, possibly the vendors, told him, ilav ziiriyad, if you aren't the great ziiri, lo have mahadrinon loch, we would not restore the funds you paid. We wouldn't give you back your money. Don't you know, they went on to say, mi iko de zoven midi hocha, is there anyone that buys something from here below, bodikle amaya, and doesn't check it out with a little water? In other words, people who bought things in Alexandria's Rhyme, a place that was full of spells and black magic, everyone knew to be wary, buyer beware, and people would carry around a little flask of water and sprinkle it on items they bought to test it out. The water had the effect of undoing these different spells. Yanai, this individual is not a rabbinic figure, as we'll see shortly. He was someone who himself practiced black magic. Yanai iklo lahu ushpizo. He went to a particular inn. Omar lahu ashken maya. He requested a drink of water. Karivu shasisa. They served him a shasisa beverage, which is a beverage made of water mixed with flour. Chaza de komrachshon sifsuasa. Yanai noticed that the woman serving him had her lips were moving, were mumbling. And he figured that she was mumbling some kind of spell. Shoda purta minei havu akravi. He tossed a little bit out of this drink behind his back, giving the impression that he drank some of it, but he faked it. He tossed some of it out onto the ground, and the beverage, as it hit the ground, it turned into scorpions. Havu akravi, it turned into scorpions. Omar lehu, so Yanai told his host and said, Ano shasoi miditru, I drank from your beverage. Atu nami shasu mididi, have a drink of some of my beverage. Ashke, he gave her to drink. Apparently, the feeling was that nothing happened to him, so it's safe to drink it. Havoi Hamra, the woman turned into a donkey. Apparently, what happened here is that Yanai cast a spell on whatever he gave her to drink, and she turned into a donkey. Rochva, and as such, Yanai rode the donkey, rode her out into the street. Solik Lashuki went into the public market. Also, chaverta, her friends came along, poshra la, they melted, so to speak, the spell. It could be that they threw some water on the donkey. Chazia, and it turned out it turned back into the woman. Chazia de rochiv v'koy aitzo b'shuka, and it turned out that he was in effect riding a lady in the public. At this point, we have another topic heading, the nosei, the machlokes tanoim befirush hatzvardeo b'makas mitzrayim. The pasuk says, "Vatal hatzvardeya v'techas es eretz Mitzrayim." The frog in the singular. The pasuk uses the term tzvardeya in the singular. The singular frog arose and covered Mitzrayim. Amar Rabbi Elazar, tzvardeya achas hoisa. There was one tzvardeya creature. Hishritza, it cast forth from its from inside of it offspring, and these offspring umolo kol eretz Mitzrayim, and they filled all of Egypt. As far as this topic is concerned, the Gemara says it's a machlokes katanoim, it's a tanaic controversy. Katanoi, Rabbi Kiva omer, tzvardeya achas hoiso, umolo kol eretz Mitzrayim. He seems to reflect the opinion that we just saw in the Gemara above, Rabbi Elazar, that really there was one tzvardeya that came up, and it populated all of Mitzrayim through its offspring. Amalo Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, he challenges Rabbi Kiva and says, Akiva, malacho etzel hagodah, what are you doing analyzing the agadic sections of the Torah? Kale midivrasecha v'lech etzel negoim v'olos, cease from your preoccupation with agoda and go to where you have real expertise in the realm of negoim, which deals with different afflictions known as tzoras, bodily afflictions and other forms of afflictions, and ohalos, laws dealing with overhanging, overshadowing, which are particularly prominent in the realm of tumas meis, defilement through encountering the dead, overshadowing items that overshadow that which is pure and the dead at the same time. Study those areas and expound on those areas, but not agoda. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is trying to say there's a different explanation. Tzvardeya achas hoiso, there was one tzvardeya that arrived, sharko lahem fehein bo, and it made a noise, and through its noise it was in effect summoning all of the frogs of the world, and that's how Mitzrayim was covered with frogs. Not by some type of birth of frogs, but rather by this singular tzvardeya summoning all the rest. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.